Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And you can find my blog on my homepage as well as, and we'll send it to you, by the way, if you want to, the blog, or you can come and get it. And we update it every weekday, 5 days a week. And so I hope you'll take advantage of all the resources that we have on our website. Alan Deutschman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and our new friend. He's a veteran writer. He's written a number of books. He's a regular at Fast Company magazine, which many of you know about, one of my favorite magazines. And he's got a new book out that I think you're going to like a lot. And it's called Change or Die, The Three Keys to Change at Work and in Life. Alan, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
You know, Alan, I saw some research a while back that said 60 to 67% of all people resist change with a passion. Have you seen anything like that?
Well, you know, in the beginning of my book, I found some of the most recent studies show that it's even worse than that, if you can
really
believe it.
Really?
It's 90% of people resist changing the way they live, even if their life depends upon it. And this is what got me writing the book, is mm-hmm. I heard the head of the Johns Hopkins Medical School, one of the most prestigious medical schools and hospitals in the world, talk about studies that even when people have had heart surgery, it's a coronary bypass surgery, which has given them an extra few years, a new lease on life, and their doctors say, you have a really bad illness, and you need to change your life. You need to start living in a much healthier way. You need to reduce your stress and start exercising and eat better and such. Yeah, even in that life or death situation, 90% of people still can't change or don't change.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, when I tell folks that once you hit 40, when you get to be about 40, you'll start losing friends and acquaintances because of their decisions, because of the decisions they've made, either smoking, either overeating, not watching their high blood pressure, not paying attention to that, other elements of their lifestyle, some decision that they made or some refusal to not do something will start costing them their lives.
That's right. You know, most of the $2 trillion, and that's trillion with a T, dollars that we spend every year on health care in America, and that's about one-fifth of our economy, $2 trillion, is because of the way that people live their lives. Things like eating and drinking and smoking and stress is a big factor, and really nothing that science is going to do with genetic engineering and technology and such is going to save us. It's really an issue mm-hmm. of the psychology of how can we better motivate people to change in different aspects of their lives.
Well, let's follow this personal aspect for just a little bit longer, and I want to move over to the business side real quick, Alan. But on the personal side, what do you suggest people do? If smoking is just an addiction. I mean, it's just a pure chemical addiction. Nicotine is more addictive, it's my understanding, than cocaine is. It's a horrible, horrible thing. What do we do for people, or alcoholism, overeating, whatever it might be? What is the key to getting people to change their behavior just so they can live? Never mind, Alan, that they might not do what I want them to do. I mean, sure, I'd like for them to do that. But what do we got to do just to get them to live longer?
Well, you know, I mean, what you say is exactly right. I mean, nicotine is an incredibly addictive drug. I mean, alcoholism is really dangerous. I mean, when someone is a serious alcoholic, you know, it's you can die from not having alcohol if you're I mean, you really have to go to the hospital.
The withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm.
Withdrawal symptoms, exactly. I mean, what people think heroin withdrawal is like, severe alcohol withdrawal is actually like. So these are serious problems, but I think that we have to realize that there's a social and a psychological aspect and a spiritual aspect of these problems. It's not just physical or chemical. It's that people are doing these things because they are, in a way, they're solutions. They're a way that people deal with the stress, the anxiety, the loneliness, the basic problems of living in this world. And it's what gets people through day to day, week by week. And what you have to do is not just tell people, oh, you know, you need to have more willpower, or is people need other ways to deal with all of those underlying problems in their life. And often it might be, it might come from an indirect and unexpected source. I mean, you know, smoking, I haven't been a smoker, and I've often envied smokers because it's so social. You can go and smoke with other people and have that camaraderie.
I've never envied smokers, Alan. I'm sorry.
a lot of people get drawn into it because, yeah, it's social, and that's an important thing that we need. And so, finding another way to have that connection with people and have, mm-hmm, the camaraderie which is an important part of life. If that's tied into smoking or drinking.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know what the answer is, but I know that there are similar situations in the marketplace, Alan, and those situations are people who have businesses that were founded and became successful in the 20th century. And now they find themselves in the 21st century, or maybe they're individuals with skills, with 20th century skills, trying to be employable in the 21st century. And because they have not prepared, because they've not recognized the new environment that they're facing, because they don't realize that they're as Dorothy said to her dog, you know, when they don't realize we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, it really creates a lot of problems for them. And when we come back, I want you to talk to us about the importance of changing, being willing to change, being prepared to change for the right reasons in our businesses, professionally speaking, as individuals and for our businesses. It's 20 after the hour. Alan Dutchman is our guest. He's the author of the new book, Change or Die. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Welcome back. Alan Dorchman is our guest. He is the author of Change or Die, The Three Keys to Change at Work and in Life. Alan, one of my favorite things to tell people these days, and my audience has heard me saying this, they've heard me say it enough, they're rolling their eyes right now. They know what I'm going to say. 96.75% of all the things that you and I know, we learned in the 20th century. And we're not We're not in that century anymore. And by the way, the 96.75, I just made that up, but it's a high percentage. And most of what we learned in the 20th century, half of it is obsolete already, and the other half is becoming obsolete at light speed. We don't have a choice but to change, do we?
We don't. You know, the world changes, and we have to change too. And the problem is, once we're good at something, once we're successful at anything, people don't like to change. Because you say, I'm good at this, and I know how to do this, and I have mastered it. And change is all about learning. It's all about learning things that are hard and frustrating. And once you're good at something, who wants to change? I've been a magazine writer for the past 18 years. I'm really good at writing magazine articles. I don't want to learn how to do blogs. I mean, why have I spent all this time getting good at doing magazine articles? Blogs are different. And
so what are you going to do?
Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, even though advertising is going down for magazines, because all the advertising is going from print to the internet, and the readers are going to the internet, people are like, well, I'm going to hold on to this, because, you know, it's like a sinking ship, but, you know, mm-hmm. it hasn't sunk yet. It's, you know, we're all having highballs on the deck of the Titanic.
Right.
Rather than looking for the lifeboats and figuring out how to swim.
Well, just like a business that was founded, let's say, in the 80s, traditional business, somebody, you know, every time a customer comes in, the little bell rings over the door, you know, and just a classic classic American small business or wherever it may be around the world. And your customer calls or they come in and they order something and you get it for them or you order it for them and then you deliver it and, you know, all is right with the world. But then comes along this internet thing and the companies are saying, okay, you know, does this mean I have to, if I'm going to survive, I have to change and become an internet company? Well, no, the answer is that's not the answer. But it does mean that you're going to have to add that to your strategy the same way you added a fax machine when they came along.
That's right. And it's hard because when we're adults, we resist learning. You know, when we're children, we learn all kinds of new things because we don't know anything to begin with, and we're kind of forced to find our way in the world. But as adults, once we're making a good living doing something that we know how to do, people, they cling to that, and they say, we're really good at this, and we want to keep doing it. And you have to think about your work in a different way. You have to think of it as a continuous process of learning. And remember that learning is like what it was when you were growing up. It's when you do something different, it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be challenging. Instead of looking like someone who's an expert and has mastery, you're going to be floundering for a while. But that's how you know you're learning something that's truly new and different and is pushing your brain. And that's what you have to keep doing. And people don't want to be embarrassed by the frustration of learning when we're in our 40s, 50s, or 60s or beyond.
Alan, does your book have a website?
Well, I have a personal website. That's alandeutschman.com. Unfortunately, my name is kind of hard to spell.
It's A-L-A-N is the first name. That's not the name he's talking about, though, Alan. Go ahead.
And there's more information about the book at my personal site, or if you Google me.
The name he's talking about that's so hard to spell, folks, is D is the last one. D-E-U-T-S-C-H-M-A-N, Deutschman, and it's almost as bad as Blasting Game. And so check that out, alandeutschman.com, right, Alan? And
that's
book's
right.
Available wherever books are sold.
That's right, change or die.
Yeah. You know, we went through a period, what some people call the jobless recovery back in 2002 and 2003. We went through a period where the economy was doing great, but the unemployment was a little higher than we wanted. And in those days, I said, you know what, this isn't some communist conspiracy. This is not something the Republicans or the Democrats or whatever did to anybody. This is just a natural transition from one era to another, from, you know, when we went from the Dark Ages to the Renaissance, when we went from what we did was we went from the information age to the digital age. And we had a number of people who weren't ready for that. They came out of factories and needed to go to work on a computer. Now, I think we're starting to get that. We got folks who have gotten retrained. It's just a matter of applying yourself and taking the time and the initiative to make these changes, isn't it, Alan?
It is, you know, and it's saying that, okay, I'm not done learning. You know, whatever degree you have, if it's a high school degree or a college degree or graduate school or an MBA or an MD or a PhD, whatever piece of paper you have, you are not done learning, expanding your skills, mastering things that didn't even exist before. It's got to be a continuous process because that's where the world's going.
You know, Alan, Plato, the great Roman politician, started learning Greek at 84. And someone once said, why are you doing that at your age? He said, it's the youngest age I have.
That's right.
Hey, Alan, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I would love to.
We've enjoyed having you here. Change or Die by Alan Deutschman. Thank you, Alan. See you next time.
Pleasure.
Got to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Wayne Cruz. We're going to talk a little politics, a little free market, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.